So you're very, very welcome. Good to see you all. Did you have a good Christmas? Yes. My daughter was calling this period between Christmas and New Year's, what would she call it, the Christmas coma? I don't know what she means. She means you've eaten too much food, I think. But I am going to talk today about 2024. I just thought, you know, predictable, why not? Obviously, it's the 31st of December. And, you know, I think often we take time at the beginning of a new year and the end of an old one to audit, you know, where we're at, to think about what's been gone and what we're maybe looking forward to. And I hope this talk, this sermon, fills you full of expectant wonder. You know, we were up with our grandchildren and they're 3 and 5 and they had all the wonder of Christmas. And you know what? We lose that. And it's nobody's fault but our own. We lose that wonder that you know, we can have as children of God. Because we have such an incredible God. We can look at him and think, wow, what's he about to do now? And, you know, I think I'd like us to try and get that mindset as we approach 2024. I'm going to pull out some points, I guess, or some character traits of a person from the Bible that I think we can really learn from as we position ourselves to move in to 2024. Because positioning isn't just about your body, you know, like a positioning stance. Positioning can be an attitude of what's going on the inside of who you are. And so it's kind of more that rather than a physical positioning. You know, if you want to position yourself in a gym, woohoo, good for you. But this is more like a sort of psychological, spiritual positioning that I want to talk about today. So 3 points. I want to look at our commitment. Our intentions and our commitments matter as we look forward into a new year. Our attitude matters. You know, we need to be strategic. We need to be discerning. And 2024 matters. This isn't just another year, to quote Johnny Logan. Do you remember him, Beth? You know, 2024 matters. It is the year that the Lord has made, and so we get to and be glad in it. We get to do that because we are children of the living God. You know, reflecting on 2023 was a bit depressing. We all thought the Ukraine war would be over. We all thought that, you know, shocked by what happened in Gaza and Israel. There's been famines and wars, and so we can be seduced into putting our eyes on those things. But beloved, as we go into 2024, I believe this is a word from God, we need like no time in history to get our eyes up and get our eyes back on the living God. Because the devil, he comes to steal, kill and destroy, it tells us in John 10:10. But God comes that we might have life abundantly. And that is good news. Not that we may eke along and limp along until we pop our clogs and die. No, we are meant to have abundant, full-on, fragrant life. So I want us to look today at the story of Ruth. And I often shy away from this, obviously, because I'm called Ruth, and it seems like a completely sort of egotistical thing to do. But this sort of woman and her character, I think, really shows us some of the things that we can try and embody as we go forward into the unknown. This year is a blank year. It's as yet unwritten. But before I go into the story, I want to give you a little bit of the background. And you know, when I speak, at the end of my talk, I often give you 5 keys of here's what's practical. I'm going to do that at the beginning. So just a heads up before we get into it, okay? So the story of Ruth, the background of it is that there's a famine in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem was known as like the breadbasket of Israel. It was God's place of provision for his people. It's where he had called them at that time to be. But there was a famine. And Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons decide that they're going to go to Moab, which is another country, but it's not where God has told them to be. And rather than wait and trust in God's provision, they go to a God-forsaken land where idols are king. And this is not a good place to be. And their choices end in tragedy. So five things to pull out from the background before we even get into the word today. First thing, disobedience holds back blessing. So as we go into 2024, be mindful. Are you where God has called you to be? Are you doing what he's called you to do? Because I want you to be blessed. I want me to be blessed. So this is as much to me as to you. So disobedience holds back sin. Second point. Naomi, she was a woman in a very patriarchal society. She didn't probably have a choice about whether she went to Moab or not. Our disobedience impacts others. And that's not fair. Three, sometimes God will, in his love, allow us to lose everything in order to get our attention. Four, God sees those whose hearts are inclined towards him. And five, God is faithful all the time. He is faithful and he loves you. So five things just to think about as you go into 2024. Let's look at Ruth, because here's a woman with such character that I think we can learn a lot from her. We can be inspired by her. And we see how her commitment to doing the right thing really bears fruit in so many ways. Because Ruth, in a material sense, we know the story. She loses everything. Her husband dies. And she loses everything. She loses the roof over her head. You know, she loses her place in society. But she gains something else. You see, I believe in the years that Ruth and Naomi were getting to know one another, Naomi was impacting Ruth in such a way that Ruth was seeing this God that was her Jewish God, this relationship she had. You know, Ruth was a Moabite. She grew up being told, there's a bit of stone, worship that. There's a tree, worship that. There's a bit of wood, worship that. And yet in Naomi, she saw something real. She saw something authentic. And you know what it did? It gave her a hunger for Naomi's God. Beloved, we need to be like Naomi. We need to be people who are doing life with God in such a way that it's infectious, that other people see, do you know what? I want what they have. I want that peace. I want that discerning spirit. I want that groundedness. I want that hope. And you know what? If you don't have it, ask God for it. He's very good like that. He answers prayer. So let's just start reading from the book of Ruth. I'm going to read from chapter 1 and I'm going to read from verse 15. And I think Hudson's going to put it on the screen. Thanks, Hud. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or go back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. You see, actions, church, are born out of our intentions. They're born out of something that's going on the inside of who you are. Your actions are an external working of an internal stance. Ruth had caught something that she wasn't going to get let go of. Your gods will be my God. Sorry, your God will be my God. Ruth chose in her actions to go with Naomi. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be really, really comfortable to not want to go into something unknown. It can be really comfortable to stay in the place that you grew up with, all the things that are familiar with the area, da-da-da-da-da. Maybe even to wallow a little bit. But Ruth had found a treasure and nothing was going to take it from her. And she was going to go with Naomi because that's where she was finding God. That's where she was finding growth. Beloved, who are you positioning yourself around? Are you positioning yourself around people where you are growing? Are they speaking life into your life? Are they gossiping? Are they negative? Are they tearing strips off people? Is there drama? Is there fallout? You know, you need to position yourself around people that are helping you closer to God. And you will know those people by their fruit. You will know them by the words that come out of their mouth. You will know them by the deeds that they do. Ruth was driven by something greater than herself, and her goal was to know this God of Naomi, more and more. Beloved, as you go into 2024, what are your goals? It's good to have goals, because if we don't have goals, we drift. And I have an image in my head as I say this of, you know, a lilo? You know, like a blow-up bed that you go to the beach with? Yeah. There's loads of stories of people falling asleep on those and getting caught in a drift and going out to sea. And in like maritime safety, that's a really dangerous thing to happen. But beloved, the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy, and he wants you on a lilo in 2024. Get off the lilo, get a paddleboard, much more fun. Seriously though, if he can help you to just drift away, you know, it's a sunny day, birds are singing, just slip off, then he has you and you're in a really, really dangerous place. Be intentional. Nam and I have a 5-year plan. Every 5 years we kind of make these plans, and some of them are a bit nuts, like, oh, hello, darling, I'm going to China. Cheers. Oh, yes, and I know you just started a business and can't come. Oh, even better. But you know what? We did pray about that. We did commit our plans to the Lord. And the Bible expects us to have plans. It tells us in Proverbs 16, commit your plans to the Lord and he will direct your steps. Ergo, you're meant to have a plan. You're not meant to drift. You know, church, God is for you. His plans and his purposes for you are good. Did you know that? And that can really help us when we're making our plans to know that, you know what, even if we go a bit off tangent, if we've committed those plans to God, he will steer us and keep us in the right direction. So our choices are a product of our internal stance towards God. Are your choices in line with his values? Is your heart to please God and not necessarily yourself? So another thing that we can pull out of the story of Ruth is her attitude in this time where she steps out into the unknown. Because I've at times stepped out into the unknown and I thought, I'm going to have a great attitude. And then, you know, the waves start hitting and stuff gets a bit hairy And I have to be honest with you, sometimes my crown slips a little bit. Sometimes my attitude isn't all that it should be. And I'm inspired when I read some of these things in these stories from the Bible about how Ruth keeps and maintains her attitude. And I think there's some things that we can learn from this as we go into 2024. As Ruth stepped towards God, God positioned her for success. She was stepping into the unknown, that's for sure. But it was into the unknown towards God. And that was the difference. You know, we get to choose. We can partner with God in life, or we can choose to shut him out in certain areas. And we can go into 2024 in promise or not. And your promised land can take 11 days or it can take 40 years. It is up to you. And much of that is up to your attitude. I would invite you to take the short route rather than the 40 years of wandering around. Get your heart set on God. Align your values with his. As God was working out his plan in the unknown of Ruth's life, one of the things that struck me as I was studying for this talk was that Ruth had to wait. And she had to wait in the discomfort of where she was at. We know that there was no Uber in, you know, Israel at that time, so she had to walk and probably sleep in hedgerows with Naomi. This was a very, very dangerous thing for two women to do at that time. She had to wait while God worked out his plan. And I would invite you to really think about maybe something that you are waiting for. And choose your attitude in the wait. Because you know what? God is in the waiting, if you allow him to be. And you will know if you're trying to run ahead of God, because you will get frustrated. You will lose your peace. And you will not be bearing fruit. You will just feel yuck on the inside, and you will start to be crabby and all the other wonderful fruit that not going in God's direction is. But I want to tell you something, that waiting, and get this, waiting is a gift. Waiting is a gift from God on high, because do you know what waiting does? Waiting increases your appetite. Waiting makes you really, really appreciate and value whatever it is that you get when it comes. I wonder, what are you waiting for? Do you feel you've been waiting for it for a long time? I just speak to you today. God is faithful. But get with him in the waiting. I remember when we lived in Ireland, we had these... this was back before you even had internet, so we're talking about 1990. And you used to get a catalogue, an IKEA catalogue. It was like, you know, the Argos, but it was all paper, right? And I remember seeing these lamps that I thought, oh, those are the nicest lamps. And I had to save up it must have been about 9 months. And Nam and I, we were living in Northern Ireland at the time, we had to drive to, I think it was Newcastle upon Tyne, was it? That was the nearest IKEA, dear love us. We had to get the ferry and all the rest of it. And it was so funny, because as soon as anybody in Northern Ireland knew that we were going to IKEA, we were like, we stopped telling people, because, you know, you got a list. And anyway, I got these lamps. And do you know what? Every time I walked into my living room, and I still have those lamps, they're the big gold round ones, so you know, some of you will know. Every time I walked into my living room, I just had a little, I was so happy. And I still love those lamps, because I really had to wait for them, and I had to save up for them. We were skint at the time, so I was like doing hairdressing and all sorts, and saving money in a jam jar. But I absolutely love those lamps, and maybe there's something like that. You know, maybe there's something you've been waiting for. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's the salvation of an unsaved family member. Maybe it is your dinner. But you know what? Waiting is a gift. And if you change and reframe your thinking on what it is, you can start to get excited in the waiting. So let waiting sweeten your joy in 2024. Another attitude of Ruth, or a character trait, was that she also had to get on with it. And she had to work. You know, if you think that God's like Father Christmas and he's just going to come along and go, there you go, what do you want, there you go, then you're going to be disappointed, I'm afraid. God requires us to work. Let's read from Ruth 2, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean amongst the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I may find favor. And Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. And so Ruth went. She came and she gleaned in the field behind the harvesters. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Interesting how God positions those whose hearts are after his. And we know that in the evening, she's been there all day. And in the Middle East, you know, you start work early. It's like 6 because it gets too hot in the afternoon. And then you work maybe until sort of 8 or 9 at night. And Boaz goes in to his field late at night, maybe sort of 8 or 9. And he sees Ruth and he asks his overseer, you know, who is she? And we pick it up in verse 6. She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She came to the field and has remained here from morning until now, except for a short rest in the heat of the day. Beloved, when you work as unto God, it gets people's attention. Now, here's the thing. In churches, we've made this big mistake that we separate the secular and the godly. Let's not do that, because there's no theological base for that. If you are a nurse, do it unto the Lord. If you're retired, Gary, do it as unto the Lord. If you are a motorbiker, do it as unto the Lord. It really doesn't, there is no line. You just do it for God's glory and with a heart and a half in the best way that you can do it. God notices what we do, but here's the rub. People notice what we do. The overseer noticed what Ruth did, and the people working with her noticed what she did. Beloved, when we partner with God, when we work with God, we get people's attention just by working. I think that's quite incredible. And moreover, God promises us a reward. In Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36, we get to be confident that God is no man's debtor. It tells us, do not therefore throw away your confidence. It brings a great reward, for you need endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what he has promised. God wants us to go into 2024 and feel fulfilled and satisfied. He wants us to feel useful and purposed. And we get to feel that way when we co-work with him. And finally, the other character trait of Ruth was that she was not too proud to do menial jobs. You know, it's sweaty work, picking up straw and barley or whatever it was they were growing. That's not, She might have broken a few fingernails, let's put it that way. She wasn't too proud to take instruction from her mother-in-law. She went to Naomi and she said, you know, this is what I'm thinking. She was, you know, if you can't take instruction, you've no business leading anything. Ruth took instruction from Naomi. You know, if we're to walk with God, if we're to be as full on and fragrant as he needs us to be, we need to do it with humility. It tells us that humility is something that God esteems very, very highly. It is actually beautiful to God. It's beautiful when we say, Lord, thy way, not my way. Because humility is an antidote to rebellion. And it keeps us grounded. Remember that devil? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came to give you life in abundance. So we see Ruth was able to wait. She was able to work and she was able to be humble. And I'd encourage you to give God access to every area of your life in 2024 and to humbly put in your relationship with him. So what do you want for this year? I know Chloe's going to South Africa for 3 weeks. Woohoo! A little jealous. Yeah. Nam and I are planning to go to a wedding in Australia in October. I'm going back out to China in maybe March. You know, we're planning some things. What are you planning for 2024? In the planning, can you be like Ruth? Her hunger for God dictating her choices. Being intentional in her attitude as she waited and she worked in humility. Can we work hard to make the best of whatever circumstances? I want to encourage you, rather than to focus on the negative, because one of the things we know about, you know, human beings is we have a negative bias. And sometimes that can rob us of hope. And yet, time and time again, it tells us in the Word of God, we're a people who have a hope that is assured. No man, no nothing, no devil can take that hope from you. It is yours, it is your birthright. So I want to encourage you to dare to hope. And how do you do that? How do you do that practically? Well, you remember God's faithfulness. You know, in the little things, day by day, I would encourage you. I needed to have something delivered before we went to Derby recently. And I prayed the night before, Lord, could this thing come in the morning? Because we need to drive in the afternoon. And it came. And I went back to Nam and I said, look, am I not the most blessed woman on the planet? I prayed about it last night and here we go. And I do that all the time. Now, I probably am really annoying to live with. You'd need to ask Hudson. But I do it all the time because I pray about the big things and the little things. And do you see when it's coming through time and time again and you're able to go, look, God did it there and there and there and there. It starts to build your faith. And when it starts to build your faith, you can start to dare to hope. And being hopeful is a better place to be, isn't it, than being in fear? We're not meant to be in fear. We're meant to anticipate good things because we serve a good, good God. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, do not fear. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Flames will not touch you. Bless you, Nick. I have called you by name and you are mine. I have called you by name and you are mine. God chose you. God chose me. I know, go figure. Isn't it mind-blowing that the God who created the universe, the one who sits in awesome perfection, he looked through time, whatever time actually is, I don't know if we really know what it is, he looked through that And he said, I want a Beth Butt. You know, I want an Amelia McQueen. And he wanted a Ron March. He looked and he said, this one's mine. And you know, it tells us in 2 Timothy verse 19 that we are marked with a seal. Nobody gets to take you away. Nobody gets to kidnap you. Because you belong to the Almighty God. He chose you. And he has this promise for you. And I'm coming to a close now. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11. And it says, and I'm sure you all know it really well, but it's worth repeating at the beginning of a year. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Isn't that contrary to what we believe that little voice in our ear tells us sometimes? Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. As we go into 2024, let's not be half-assed. Let's go in with a full heart, wholeheartedly, to seek God. Do you trust God wants the best for you in 2024? Do you need to maybe align your position or position yourself slightly differently, or some of the things that are not maybe serving you well in your thought life? Do you need to recommit your attitude? And maybe it's in work, in waiting, or in your humility. I believe this is for somebody here, but do you need to let go of the past once and for all? Ask God to show himself strong in your life. Look for little wins each day. Build your faith. And I believe we can. I'd like to actually make this like a declaration. I wonder, could we stand and make a declaration as we go in to 2024? I have a big stretch, Robert. Go on, stretch it out. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? This is the year that the Lord has made. So, it's a year. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am expecting good things from a good God this year. Bless you, church. Please feel free to be seated.